ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ वेलकम टु यू ऑल वेलकम टु the webcast of our January 1st New Year's Day celebration, and Happy New Year to you all. For 20 years, we've always had a wonderful celebration here at our ashram every New Year's Day. And for the first time in 20 years, ashram is empty except for myself and Vasanti, my assistant. But in a way, you're here also, as we have this virtual celebration, which to me is just wonderful. So welcome to our virtual celebration of the new year. Of course, we're ending what has been a very difficult year, 2020. I don't think anyone will look back on the year and say, oh, what a wonderful year it was. It was difficult. Of course, part of this new year will also be difficult. We have the vaccine now, but it'll take time before things get back to normal. our lives have been very much disrupted, and a great number of people have struggled to cope with the various kinds of disruptions this pandemic has brought upon us. So we want this to be a celebration, but at least briefly, let's talk about at least one or two aspects of coping with this time of difficulty. One thing many people have experienced is kind of a sense of isolation. You're not able to go out and be with your friends and be in social gatherings. Many people are accustomed to having huge family gatherings at this time of year, and those family gatherings have been legally forbidden for good reasons, to, you know, for our own health and welfare. Many people are not going into the workplace or working from home. So spending much time, many people are spending much more time at home, not going out, not undertaking their usual routines. And at least for some people, this leads to a sense of isolation. We are, as human beings, it's often been said that human beings are social animals. We're accustomed to a lot of social contact in our day-to-day lives. And when we're deprived of even a portion of all that social contact, it has some consequence and consequences that we have to deal with. I have to share with you this this story about isolation, a personal story. This is perhaps 30 years ago. I had finished most of my studies, but I hadn't begun teaching yet. And my guru, Pujya Swami Dayananda, suggested that I should have a personal retreat. He was building, at that time, 30 years ago, his ashram in South India, near Coimbatore, was under construction at that time. No one was living there. But he suggested that I should go and live there for a month or so and have a time of personal retreat. So I went to the ashram. The rooms, everything was under construction, but at least some basic infrastructure was there. So I had a room. I had access to a kitchen and things. And so I stayed there for a month. And for that month, I didn't... Actually, I saw some people. The people I saw were the workers who were working to build the ashram, who were all Tamilian and who spoke no English, and I spoke no Tamil, so there was no interaction really with the workers. And I found myself pretty isolated, living there alone. Days and days would go by when I didn't speak to anyone. And I'll admit, I felt a sense of isolation. I did not have the usual social contact I was accompanied to enjoying. And that did affect me. I remember looking forward very much to a visit from a friend. And I think Shivaratri was celebrated. I was looking forward to leaving the ashram and going and attending a celebration of Mahashivaratri. So the fact that I was looking forward so eagerly to those events shows some degree of internal discomfort with that isolation. One point to recognize then is that some discomfort with social isolation is normal. We're going through an extraordinary time, and it would be naive to think that it's not going to affect us at all. So to feel some sense of loss, to feel some sense of isolation, to feel that sense of being cut off or loss of control, whatever you might feel, those feelings are normal. And feelings are natural. Feelings are not we have this tendency to divide everything that we experience into desirable and undesirable. And we label the sense of isolation as undesirable. That's a mistake. It's normal. Our emotions are normal. To feel a sense of isolation or loss is completely normal. It's not undesirable. The issue is how we respond to those emotions. Is our response a healthy one or an unhealthy one? Going back to that time, my response to the isolation was mostly healthy. I had a wonderful routine. I would get up early in the morning and go around the ashram grounds and pluck flowers from the trees for morning puja. I'd go back to my room where I'd set up an altar and I would do my morning puja. I would then do some chanting, recitation of prayers. I had a full set of studies that I was engaged in. So most of my day was engaged in study, contemplation, meditation. I'm smiling. I have to share this with you. part of my day was spent in preparing my own meals, which was rather comical because I know nothing about cooking. And what they had done is very carefully they prepared the kitchen for me. By the way, the kitchen I use is the kitchen that Puja Swami Dayananda, my guru, it became his kitchen. I was using the kitchen and I took my meals in the room that became his satsang room. So this is before he occupied his cottage when the ashram was still under construction. I had the privilege of being the first resident of the ashram, and I had the privilege of using Puja Swamiji's cottage before he came there for the first time. Anyway, imagine this hilarious scene of me going into the kitchen to prepare meals for myself. They had nicely stocked the kitchen with all different kinds of foods and vegetables that I didn't even recognize. Different kinds of gourds, typical South Indian vegetables. I didn't know what they were. And then every day they had fresh milk brought, which was nice, which I had to boil, make sure that it was safe to drink. And then there was a big, you call it dabba, the container, a big tin container of atta, flour. And I had to make my own chapati. That was just hilarious. I had a vague idea of how to do it, but you can imagine how the results were pretty poor. And just to conclude this part of the anecdote, one of the workers, a female worker there, once saw me eating food I had prepared for myself. She saw the food I was eating, and she probably shook her head, wondering how I could eat this stuff. And the next day, she came and prepared a meal for me. I think she had so much pity on me that I wasn't eating properly. Anyway, it was fine. I actually enjoyed the challenge of it. But the topic here is how we respond to the challenges of isolation. So even though I did feel a sense of being isolated, I did definitely feel that loss of interaction with others, and it did affect me. My response was quite positive. I used it for sadhana, for spiritual practice, plenty of time for meditation. I took long, wonderful walks up in the hills all over the ashram. I encountered a big elephant once on the road there. Anyway, lots of nice, I look back at that time very fondly. So I remember the sense of isolation, but I also remember it as a very wonderful time, a time when I could really be focused on that spiritual practice. Now, sorry, I'm just looking at my notes here. So the question then is, how are you spending this time? Yeah. How are you responding to the challenges of isolation? If you find yourself spending more time at home, how are you spending that time? I'll give two very wonderful examples. Vasanti has a weekly Sanskrit class, and her students have never studied more vigorously than they have during this time of pandemic. I'm amazed at how much progress they've made because they're stuck at home. They don't have much else to do, so they spend their time studying Sanskrit. How wonderful. Another example is many of you know that we just finished a series of classes on Shankaracharya's Atma Bodha. So for the better part of the last year, we've had a class every Saturday morning at this time. I taught a class on Atma Bodha. When I would teach a class like that here at our ashram, generally we would have maybe 100 students, you know, give or more or less 100 students, which is that's a big class. And Atma Bodha is a purely Vedantic text, so to have 100 students for a Atma Bodha class is wonderful. Well, we didn't have any students here, obviously, because of the pandemic. The classes were all conducted virtually, like our celebration today. And I was so amazed that during the webcast of the class, there would be maybe 200 students who were watching the webcast as it was being broadcast. But then what struck me and amazed me was over the next 7 days, from one class to the next, the class, which was uploaded to YouTube, that recording, the class was watched by more than 5,000 people in that 1 week span. So 200 people watched the broadcast as it was, watched the webcast as it was being broadcast. But then in the next week, another 5,000 people watched those videos. This is wonderful. Nice, of course, it's nice to have access to all of these teachings over the internet, but what strikes me is the very positive response of so many Vedantic students that every week they were eagerly looking forward to the next Atma Bodha class, and class after class in 1 week time, 5,000 people. Can you imagine? I could never have 5,000 students here in this ashram, but with the this is one of the really good things about having the internet, we can have such classes. But let me not stray. The point here is what a positive response to the isolation caused by the pandemic, that these 5,000 people would be eagerly engaged in watching those Atma Bodha classes. These are very, very positive responses to the pandemic. One last positive response we should talk about is if you find yourself isolated and spending more time at home, having more time means not just more time for yourself, but more time for others. You probably know of others in your family or of your friends and acquaintances, others who might be struggling, maybe struggling more than you, and friends who could probably be benefited by a phone call, or you can't maybe not physically visit them, but you can certainly phone them up or send them an email or some kind of contact to check in on those important people in your life, people who need care. So the extra time you have at home during this time of pandemic can certainly be put to good use. You can spend more time. You can spend more time with your immediate family. You can spend more time engaged in your spiritual studies and prayer and meditation. And certainly, you can spend a little more time reaching out to take care of others who might need that support. All right. Now, oh, nice. That care for others, one way I've seen that care demonstrated is how many of you continue to care for our ashram, Arsha Bodha Center. And when I say care, I mean this. I am amazed at the fact that donations, you continue to send donations to our ashram. Many of you, you haven't been here, you know, are addressing our regular students. Our regular students haven't been here for almost a year, and they continue to give regular donations. And in addition to our regular students, so many of you are giving donations to support the ashram. And this is an example of reaching out and giving the care at a time of difficulty. And we haven't had classes here since March. And if, starting in March, when people stopped coming here, if donations ceased to come to our ashram, we would have difficulty in paying the bills. But the fact is, because of your generosity, because you are taking care of this ashram, we've had no difficulty at all. So I'm extremely grateful and happy for that. I'm also happy, excuse me, sorry. I'm also very happy to be beginning this new year with new classes. And allow me to talk briefly about the new classes that we'll be starting. For example, we have on Saturday mornings, we have had the Atma Bodha class going on for some time. Some of you know that on Saturday mornings, our typical class is actually a Bhagavad Gita class. For years and years, we've always had a Bhagavad Gita class on Saturday mornings. In fact, we've studied the entire Bhagavad Gita cover to cover, all 700 verses. We've studied it three times completely. After concluding the third time, we began our study of the Mahabharata. And so I think for a period of 5 years, our Saturday morning class was on other sections of the Mahabharata. You know that the Bhagavad Gita is one section of the Mahabharata that contains spiritual teachings. So for 5 years, we studied other sections of the Mahabharata, which similarly contain profound spiritual teachings. After we concluded those teachings of the Mahabharata, then we studied Atma Bodha, as I just said. Now, having concluded Atma Bodha, I'm really eager to return to the Bhagavad Gita. And we will, starting next Saturday, we'll resume regular weekly classes on Bhagavad Gita every Saturday morning at this time, 11 o'clock in the eastern part of the United States. So you, please join us. And you might find it surprising that after having taught the Bhagavad Gita here three times and one more time before coming here, I'm eager to return to the Bhagavad Gita, and for very obvious reasons. There is no scripture, none, that are like the Bhagavad Gita. It is absolutely unique. Unique in the way it presents these wonderful spiritual teachings of Vedanta are presented in a way that is so compelling and so relevant to our day-to-day lives. There's no scripture anywhere like it. And just the structure, the content, the dialogue between Sri Krishna and Arjuna, everything about the text makes it just wonderful. And for all those reasons, I'm really looking forward to resuming our study of the Bhagavad Gita. So next Saturday at this time, you please join us, and every succeeding Saturday. It'll probably go on the previous times we've gone through the Bhagavad Gita, 700 verses of weekly classes, about 5 years of weekly classes to go through the whole Bhagavad Gita. It's a wonderful study. I'm looking forward to beginning that next week and sharing that with you. Another new class, or session, I should say, that we're undertaking. On Saturday mornings during our before the pandemic, when we met here, prior to the class on Mahabharata or Bhagavad Gita, before that we'd have a meditation workshop, meditation session, guided meditation class. And many people have mentioned they've missed those classes. So for the past number of months, I've been working to develop what's called a course in meditation. It's called The Inner Journey, A Course in Meditation. It's loosely based on a book I wrote many years ago on meditation. It's significant that not many people read books these days, certainly not as much as they used to, but so many people are watching videos, as you're watching right now. So what I've done is to take the contents of that old book on meditation and to present it in the form of video lessons. It's coming out to a total of 42 lessons. Many of the lessons include guided meditations, and I'm working now to finish those lessons. It's been rather a large project. And those lessons cover every aspect of meditation. Well, some of you are familiar with that book. The book I wrote on meditation is very comprehensive. It addresses many different styles, approaches, types of meditation, and it goes through all those various types of meditation in a very comprehensive and systematic manner. So all of that now is going to be presented in the series of video lessons, 42 video lessons, and those lessons will be published, uploaded to the internet on one each week. So starting tomorrow, every Sunday we will upload a new lesson from that course in meditation. And then week by week, you can watch those lessons and perform the guided meditations. And 42 weeks will go by. By the end of those 42 weeks, you will be ready to establish a very profound practice of meditation in your own life. You'll get all the guidance that you need to build a really profound practice of meditation. You'll find it all in that course. So starting tomorrow, and then on every succeeding Sunday, we'll have another lesson published from the course in meditation. One more class that we're starting is a follow-up to Atma Bodha. Our local students here will know that we typically have a Vedanta class every Tuesday evening. Tuesday evenings at 7:30. So we are going to begin a Tuesday evening webcast of our Vedanta class. And the Vedanta class is going to follow up on Atma Bodha. And a good follow-up text after Atma Bodha is a wonderful text called Advaita Makaranda. Makaranda means nectar, like the nectar of a flower. So the nectar of non-duality. It's a short text. It's authored by one Lakshmi Dara, not a very famous teacher, but the text is just wonderful. The text is really made for contemplation, for nididhyasana. Every verse goes very deeply and beautifully into the teachings of Vedanta. We won't go very fast through those verses, but we'll take our time to really assimilate that nectar, if I can use the metaphor. So we'll enjoy it, and we'll start that this coming Tuesday. So starting this coming Tuesday at 7:30 p.m., we'll start our webcast of this Advaita Makaranda class. And you know that if you're not available when the webcast is taking place, you can always watch the webcast at your convenience. That's one of the advantages we have with these webcasts. If we have a class here in our ashram, and if you are not available to come to that class, you miss out. Actually, we've always made audio recordings available so that you could listen to that audio recording and catch up with the class. But this is even better. If you miss a class, you get a video recording. So I'm very, very pleased that we can do all of this. In fact, just a couple of closing comments here. We'll keep our celebration a little bit short here today. It's been a very happy discovery for me to know how wonderful it is to teach all of you through this medium of video and the internet. As I sit here, I feel deeply and directly connected with all of you watching. I'm looking at a camera, you know that. But I don't feel like I'm looking at a camera because I've had so much contact with many of you over the years. I feel like I'm speaking to you as if you were sitting here. I didn't know it. I would feel like that when I started. Early on, I was ambivalent about starting these webcasts because I've never taught to a camera like that. But once I started, it was just delightful. As I said, I really feel a sense of direct connection with all of you watching, and so it's wonderful for me. And hopefully it's of benefit for you as well. So please watch the classes as they are made available each week. It'd be nice for me and for you. So, as we begin this new year, 2021, certainly we can be very happy that we now have access to vaccines. So over a period of time, we'll all be properly vaccinated, and then we can resume our classes here, which I'm very much looking forward to. And all of us, we can resume a more normal life. You can go back to the activities that you're accustomed to enjoying. So there's so many good things to look forward to in this new year. So very happy to begin this new year with you in our virtual celebration. And I certainly hope and pray that the coming year, 2021, is a wonderful year for you. I pray for your safety and health, and pray that your life gets back to normal and we can enjoy all the blessings Ishvara, God, has given us. We'll conclude with a prayer. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramayah, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchid Dukha Bhagbhavet, Asatoma Sadgamaya, Tamasoma Jyotirgamaya, Mrityorma Amritangamaya. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Tat Sat.